Welcome to Go Mission, a monthly program on the The Generation podcast designed to highlight amazing accounts of gospel advance and equip you to join Jesus in his Go Mission.
Welcome to the Go Mission podcast. I'm Mark Gilmore, greeting you today from Cairns, Australia, world-renowned for the world's largest coral reef system, the Great Barrier Reef. Through the previous decades of missions history, this tropical coastal city has been a transition spot for many, many families as they enter the unreached regions of the South Pacific. That same reason has brought us here as we renew our visas for re-entry into Papua New Guinea. We've just completed 3 months of life and ministry in the highlands of PNG. We've had some amazing, profitable interactions with national believers, as well as current missionaries. You're about to hear from a young man named Zach Kinney, whom God has called to serve in Papua New Guinea. In fact, his life was directly impacted by The Generation Ministry. My son Jonathan was able to sit down with him and hear his insightful testimony of God's leadership in surrender to world missions. I believe you'll be deeply impacted by what Zach has to share. His story demonstrates in a powerful and personal way that the only way to stay at peace in a world of turmoil and uncertainty is to stay on mission with Jesus in his Go Mission.
I'm here with Zach Kinney, a young man from upstate New York, joining us here on the Go Mission podcast. And it's been a blessing just to get to know him in the short time we've had together the last week here in Pangia, Papua New Guinea. So, Zach, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you for having me on the podcast for a little bit here. I have also enjoyed you guys being up here for a little bit of time and living in my New Guinea hut with the three Gilmore fellas, you three. So it's been great. Had some good late night conversations and some not so good, getting waking up at 5 in the morning because Daniel dropped his iPhone borderline through my ceiling.
Actually, I think it was Steven dropped his iPad.
Oh, but, sorry. You know, Steven, we got to give credit where credit's due. Steven did it. I don't know who did it. It was 5 in the morning. I was delirious. Flashing back to like high school, my mom pounding on my door, and I was like, I'm up. I'm ready for the bus. Like, so anyway, so me, I'm Zach. I'm from Rochester, New York. I go to Southeast Bible Baptist Church, and really, I'm just an electrician. I own a little residential electric business. I'm 24 years old, and I also have a bachelor's degree in pastoral theology from my Bible Institute, Common Ground Baptist Institute, up at my home church. I have a few pastors and teachers that have really helped disciple me and mold me into somebody who definitely a lot more solid in my doctrine, solid in my faith than when I started in the Institute. And that has really been a tool God has used. But my pastor, Pastor Jim Crone, always talks about the Bible Institute as that is just a runway for you to get off the ground, right? That really just means, hey, this guy's begun his journey in the ministry. And so I graduated from that last year. That's pretty much who I am.
Nice. So how are you connected to the D Generation youth movement?
Yeah, so Brother Bossler actually came up through our area with the Cola Clash crew. We went out and we did like the going out and getting kids for a week, and then we had the Cola Clash. It was a great time. I was Team Coca-Cola, and I got to lead.
Did you win?
Yeah, we crushed.
Oh, there you go.
We crushed. So I think it was because Ryan. We had the lead. We had Ryan. Ryan Tomic, I think.
Yeah, Ryan Tomic.
Oh man, he led us all to victory, man.
There you go.
He dragged us, put the team on his back. But anyways, during that week, yes, Coca-Cola won, but also I got to lead about three people to the Lord.
That's awesome.
Which was great. Mm-hmm. And I'm very appreciative of Cola Clash for that. And even while I'm in Papua New Guinea, one of the people that I led to the Lord during Cola Clash texted me on Sunday with a question. He asked me, so like, how do you pray, man? He's like, I'm trying to pray, and I'm struggling. And I got to share a few things about what prayer is like, and just how to have a real prayer life, not just a superficial mealtime prayer life, but some just little things that where I started, and just things like giving God 5 minutes a day and talking to God like he's a father and approaching the throne boldly. Like, you don't have to come timidly. Like, you come in through the blood of Jesus Christ, and talk to him like a father. Don't just rub him like a genie in the bottle. Praise him and thank him and ask him. And so, man, anyway, I had those questions asked to me from a young man that I led to the Lord at Cola Clash. So that's kind of my connection. And
yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, could you just go ahead and highlight, as a young man, you're growing up and probably had a heart to serve God.
Yeah.
But maybe highlight for us some specific faith steps God led you toward missions.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something that I definitely struggled with as a teenager, right? Because missionaries come through your church and you watch the videos and everything. And it's like, man, these are the heroes, man. These are the Avengers of the faith type thing. And I had a lot of missionaries that I looked up into my church, and it was always something I was interested in. And so, you know, sometimes, and I'm only speaking from my experience, I cannot speak for everybody. And for, I've learned as I've gotten a little bit more mature in my faith, like, don't put God in a box, right? Like, don't, just because God worked in your life a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to work exactly in the same way a life of yours. So anyway, what I was really looking for, right, as a teenager, I think, was kind of a Paul on the road Damascus like experience, where like you just, it is so obvious to you the will of God. And I also hear these stories of people getting called to the ministry or something, and it's like maybe they're driving on the highway and they're talking to God and they're saying, you know, if you really want me to do this, show me a sign, and they see some bulletin board or like something miraculous happens, right?
Yeah.
And they are called to the ministry. Well, I was going through my teenage life and I really didn't have that. What I realized is we walk by faith and not by sight. And if God only gave me the answers to the questions that were coming up next in my life. I don't know how it is in everybody's life, but like when I needed to make a decision, God was there to lead me. Hmm. But the next few decisions, I didn't know. And what actually the missionary I'm staying with, Justin Dye, when I was a teenager at camp, I asked him for advice on missions and stuff. And he goes, and he's known me basically ever since I was a younger teenager. And he goes, you and I are walk by sight. We're lean on our own understanding type people. So you and I need to understand everything to get deep into it, right? We want to know all the steps so we can prepare. But he goes, that's not how God wants us to walk. Like, God wants us to trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our understanding. I don't need to understand what God has called when I'm 16, what God's going to call me to in 5-10 years.
Amen. Yeah.
But I need to understand the next steps. And so what I realized was the best thing I could do as a teenager was prepare myself to be more Christ-like, to fall deeper in love with Jesus, and to know more, ready my mind, ready my heart to be used of God. And so as I became an older teenager, I remember there was one specific chapel service at my school where I felt peace. Hey, you need to start pursuing missions. You need to learn about it. You need to talk to some people, get counsel on it. But it was never like you're called to this country right now. I never had that. Okay. And then, right, as I got older, I planned a missions trip out to Papua New Guinea. And I was going to Papua New Guinea and Zambia for a few months to do electrical.
So what age were you at that time?
I was 22. So I'm 24 now. This is only 2 years ago, right? Oh. Where I got specific direction. And really how I got it was prayerfully up until the point of going on the mission trip. Lord, please, I need some direction. I know I want to be a preacher. I know I'm called to preach. I know I'm called to the ministry. I felt that at a pretty young age that basically God changed my desires, man. It was like I wanted to make money and then I wanted to do, you know, just live the American dream. And then when I was actually at our summer camp that my church runs down in Butler, Pennsylvania, Common Ground Baptist Camp, and I just all of a sudden God flipped that switch of that is vanity and you will be depressed And it was almost like where Paul talks about, it was like, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Mm. It was like, I felt that, and I was like, okay. And ever since then, that I knew God called me, and I knew that even when I had weak moments, if this is not what I was pursuing with my life, I'd live an empty life. Mm. But I'm also, you know, I also learned some trades, and I learned to work with my hands, so I'm an electrician as well, so I... was working on that throughout high school just so I could, I knew I wasn't going to make money off the, if you're going to the ministry to make a lot of money, you are, that is a foolhardy endeavor. Unless you're Joel yeah. Osteen-ing it up, but no, so I wasn't planning on doing that. So I learned to trade. And anyway, back to the missions, right? I knew I was interested in it and I knew God wanted me to pursue it, but I've also seen, I don't know about you, but I've seen adults get into the ministry and they felt they were called to missions as a younger person, but then they end up staying in the States. Mm. Like they get called to foreign missions or whatever. They feel like they're called and mm-hmm. then God actually keeps them there. I've experienced that a few times in my inner circle. So I was pretty weary of that. And so I went to Papua New Guinea. I was only there for a little over a month. Just being in Papua New Guinea, being here on the station, we're on the station right now, I woke up knowing this is what I was born to do.
Wow.
In a way yeah. that I've never really experienced. Like, I'm involved in a lot of the ministries at my church and stuff, and I love it. I love it. I'm just as satisfied with it in some ways as I am the work here, because in a lot of ways it's similar, you know? But...
And you work in the youth ministry yep. back at your church.
I got a Wednesday
summer camps, that kind of thing too.
Yeah, so I got a Wednesday night class that I teach every week, and in the summers for 4 weeks of summer, we have about around 1,000 kids come from the Northeast to come to our summer camp. And Jim Crone runs that in Common Ground Baptist Camp. I'm sure we have some ties to the Baptist College of Ministry, so I'm sure some people will like the Common Ground shout out there, but. anyway, yeah, I'm involved in ministries at my church and stuff. But when I got to Pangaea up in Papua New Guinea, I was just like, man, this is what I was born to do. And it was so refreshing, feeling like you finally found your purpose in life. But I went to Zambia after that too, loved it as well. Didn't love it as much as Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea just won my heart over, man. And
so how yeah. long were you in Papua New Guinea the first time, and then how long were you in Zambia?
So I had offers to go to both, and so I was like, why not try to do both? So I went to New Guinea for a little over a month, and Zambia for about a month, and then I came back home and ran the summer camps in the summer. But anyway, I got here. I felt like I... really, really was born to do this, right? But my pastor, when I got back, I was telling him a little bit of this, and he told me, I think it was wise advice. He goes, you know, I'm not trying to pour cold water on you, but you need to just pump the brakes a little bit, because mission trips can be an emotional time. You know, you and I were talking about that recently, where God is working on your heart and you're working on other people's heart, and it's just an amazing spiritual experience.
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes you can have that Elijah thing, right, where Elijah had Mount Carmel, and then he's down in the dumps, depressed, borderline, you know, suicidal. You know, so he just wanted to make sure that my emotions were reined in, and he didn't want me to see me go to a valley. So he told me, he's like, you need to take as much time as you need to just prayerfully consider this and to think about it and to maybe let, you know, even give it a little bit of time, a few weeks before you really start praying about it, so that the emotions kind of settle down. So I did that. I took his advice, took his counsel. It was good counsel, kind of calmed down. And then really that summer, it was not too long after we were doing summer camp. All throughout the summer camp, I was praying, God, is this what you want me to do? And finally, God just smote my heart that, like, this is what I want you to do, and I need you to say it with your chest. I need you to not be bashful about it. I need you to not be like, well, yeah, I think God's called me to the mission field, and God's called me to work in Papua New Guinea, and man, I'm excited about it. But even up to this point, I'm still 24. I don't know exactly how it's going to look in the next few years, but hey, that's pretty much been the story of my life. Back since I was 16 and I was really starting to get serious about ministry, I didn't know what the next few steps were. So I don't really know what some of the next farther steps are for me. But, man, I'm just enjoying my salvation. I'm enjoying seeing people led to the Lord on the mission field. I'm enjoying learning from these missionaries. And I'm just trying not to lean on my own understanding and just to trust the Lord.
And I think you make a great point there. It's so easy for us to look too far ahead. And we really only live in the today. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't live 2 years from now, 5 years from now, even a month from now. I know it's a simple thought. It's kind of an obvious one, but one that we can kind of forget when we're thinking about our future. And I think a lot of worry can come and a lot of uncertainty can come, and really a self-focus that ends up resulting in not living out what God would have us do today. So I love what you're saying. You're rejoicing in your salvation. You're rejoicing in sharing the gospel each day, working on different things, yeah, you know, that God's placed in front of you in the today. And I think that's a really healthy perspective to have.
So where I'm at right now is I know the best thing I can do is I'm here from January to April.
And this is your second time?
This is my second time, yep. And I know the best thing I can do is just every day wake up, try to make progress on a lot of the projects we got going on. We're building two churches. We got a medical clinic. We just built the school that you were painting in today. And, you know, we got a lot of projects going on. And there's a lot of people to minister to. There's a language to learn. There's a culture to learn. There's missionaries to learn from. I know the best thing I can do is not worry about some of the next steps. I'll talk about that with my pastor, and I'll figure that out when I get back home. With the Lord as well, obviously, of course, and using the resources he's given me. But right now, I know the best thing I can do is just get what God has for me here. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem young people have, is they're constantly looking forward to the next steps. Who am I going to marry? Mm-hmm. What is my ministry going to be? All this next stuff. And you ignore what God has for you in the moment, and your future ministry, your future marriage, whatever, suffers. Because you did not pick up all the lessons God had for you in the now, because your mind was so fixed on what's ahead. Mm-hmm. And I only say that from a place of, that's where I was at as a young kid.
For sure.
And God will give you direction. God gave me plenty of direction throughout my youth, but it was only when I was ready to receive it, right? Sometimes young people like to almost, if God gave us the answers every time we asked them quickly, in a way, we're kind of lording over God. We are telling God, I need the answer now. It's almost like we're treating our request to God like a Google search, and we need that immediate results. When you search in Google, you're the one in control. Google's not in control.
It's true.
Asking God for direction is not like searching something in Google. It is, God, this is on my heart. I need direction in this. And if God doesn't give you the answer at that moment, or sometime soon, it's because you don't need that right now. Because God hasn't forgotten about you.
Amen.
He just doesn't want you to know right now, because he needs you to not lean on your own understanding. Because no matter what he leads you in, he needs you to trust him. So that's what I learned as a young kid.
Yeah, that's great. So as a young man, now at age 16, you're pursuing ministry and missions, kind of opens up to you. What were some of the obstacles that maybe the devil tempted you with to get in the way of pursuing God's mission for your life?
You know, I think a lot of them had to do with living a holy life. And I'm a true believer in the fact of, you are only successful in life as you are close to God. And you can tell when a preacher gets up in a pulpit, and man, that guy has a real walk with God. And there's power in the service and all that stuff. So I think what I did was, I think a good step for me was letting God do the work of purging in my life, getting rid of some stuff. And even to the point of, my pastor would tell me, as a person in the ministry, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So just because you can do something, you know, just because you can, this is not technically sin, doesn't mean you should necessarily do it. Because all things are lawful, not all things are expedient. But on the sinful side, I try to be honest with my youth leaders. I try to be honest with my parents. I try to be honest with my pastor about things that I struggle with. And you know, if you're a teenager out there and you struggle with purity, or you struggle with pride, or you struggle with lying or anything, newsflash, that makes you human. That makes you every one of us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I place standards in my life, whether it was with my, I didn't have a phone, I was 16, but whether it was with the internet or whether it was with TV or whatever, talking to girls in a way, like I didn't want to do things below board. I set standards in my life, not because I was some spiritual person, because I was deeply, my flesh is deeply unspiritual and desires those things and craves those things. But I want my spirit to win out in that battle. So I set up some standards, not because I'm spiritual, but because my flesh isn't. And my dad helped me with that. My pastor was a good resource with that. And I had some great youth leaders that really helped me with that. So, so that was that. What are some other obstacles I faced? You know, it's also, this is a big thing. And I think this is one of the big things God looks for in who he's going to do great work in is who is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things get added unto him. You know, there was definitely times as a teenager, even as a young adult, I found myself in a young adult working a lineman job where I was making around $100,000 a year at 20 years old. And it was like, I love doing lineman work. I'm not talking offensive lineman. I'm talking like electric lineman.
I think you'd make a pretty good offensive lineman though.
So, I was hanging power lines. I was setting poles. I was loving it. It was high thrill. I kind of tend towards that. That's maybe why, part of why God wired me for missions is I like the thrill. I like a little bit of the danger. I like the change in scenery every day.
Yeah, the adventure.
I like being 40 feet, 50 feet up in the air. Like, nice. I loved it. And I love the money, too, right? But that can, you got to be careful with that, right? The love of money is the root of all evil. Greed is the root of all evil. So I think greed was something I really struggled with. You know, so many times I realized as a young adult, Satan offers something good because he knows that God has something best for you. That was a real obstacle to me as a teenager, as an adult. Whether it was in my county, I could have started on the varsity team playing football, even though I was going to Christian school. I could have done that. That would have been good, but it wouldn't have been God's best. I have no idea what route I would have gone with that, but that was not something I should have done. High school sports were not the right environment for me to grow in my faith and whatnot. So, and then also as a young adult, it was starting to, man, that money piling up is... feels good. It's satisfying. But at the end of the day, like I said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
And actually, I was always praying, God, you gave me this job. The second you want me to go away from it, I'm willing to give it up because I'm so thankful you gave it to me in the first place. Sometimes we cling unto things like we did not receive them. And I really think those type of people that cling onto things that God gave them are people that God doesn't use because they're so focused on even the good. And the good might look like just sitting in a pew and going to church and maybe ministering a little bit, but maybe God has something better for you, but you need to give up some good stuff to get the best.
That's a great point. So since being here, now this is your second time here in Papua New Guinea, how specifically have you seen God use you in this opportunity? Maybe some specific things that stand out to you.
When you're on the mission fields, you're out of your comfort zone. And I found many times the best time God uses me is when I'm out of my comfort zone. When he uses me despite me in ways that I just got to sit back and be like, God was so all over that. I can't take any credit for that. All glory be to him. So I learned God can use you despite you. God will use you despite you if you let him. And letting him is just humility. I think humility is the number one thing God looks for in somebody to use. But how has God used me out here? My goals for this mission trip are basically twofold. Number one, learn. Learn from Justin, learn from Chad, learn from the pastors around me, learn from the locals around me, pick up, ask questions, observe what you know God is going to direct you to so that you're prepared to do his work later. So I've just been picking up on that stuff, but how God's used me specifically, you know, I've got to lead a few people to the Lord on this trip, praise God. Even when I first got here, my good friend Micah McCurry was the main speaker at a camp that was run on this property that about 53 kids received Christ as their Savior. Amen. There was plenty of lost kids there, and so we got to see that. But really, my twofold goal is to learn and then also leave a mark, you know. So right now we are we've been welding up and building the Kumiani Church, and then we're gonna hopefully do the same thing with Lama Church. So plant two church, not planting. We're just, because the church itself is a body of believers. It's not a physical building. Yes. So for the last few years they've been in tarp and timber churches, tarp and wood churches. Now we're gonna put up metal structures, and we're building it with the locals. And they're doing a lot of the work to get their hands dirty, roll their sleeves up, and make these things theirs. It's not just the missionaries doing it for them. No, this is their church. Mm-hmm. I even heard one man say to Justin the other day, you know, you're going to go and you're going to plant the next church. But this, and he was talking about the importance of the church. He's like, I live here. I live up that hill. This church is my church. This church is our church. And you're going to do God's will and leave someday, but we're not. So we want to do this right.
And that's a particular blessing to hear, because one of the challenges we've been hearing from the missionaries here is that much of the previous generations of work has fallen on hard times because the locals didn't feel like it was theirs. So that's really a blessing to hear the locals voicing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like back in the States, if you want to get people excited about Christ, excited about the things of God, get them busy in His work, get them busy in their word, like get their hands dirty a little bit in it. Don't just be observers. Don't just be hearers, be doers as well. And that's, I know in my life, when I started to invest in my church, my church became mine. My church became mine, and I took ownership of that. But that was only after I would put in hours of the maintenance and all the stuff. It becomes yours. So we're doing the same things with these natives out here. And so we're going to try to build two churches. We're going to try to get up a medical clinic building, which is a very exciting soul winning opportunity up here in Pangaea. And then what else are we building around here? Oh, and then there was a school. Getting the school open was a big project that we've basically completed. Now we're just doing cosmetic stuff. Up until now, but
and even today,
yeah,
something amazing happened.
Oh yeah,
at the school.
Yeah, so today was like a little microcosm of why you build a station like this up in Pangaea, why you work, why you build things, and it was we had probably around 30 kids get saved this morning at the morning chapel. Brother Chad Wells preached, and that was after. Chad, Justin, myself, Derek have been on a rotation of preaching the chapel, and we've been slowly just building up different elements of salvation. And then today was harvest day. Because many times Papua New Guineans are very recipient to what a white man has to say specifically, or what a missionary, what a foreigner has to say, but that zeal is not all you need for salvation. You need the knowledge as well. So you mix the zeal with the knowledge, and you got a convert right there, potentially. Zeal, knowledge, and then repentance. It's like, oh man, that's the perfect thing for a new convert. And there was plenty of tears shed in these rooms that I've been putting up the walls, and I've been running the electrical, and plenty of tears being shed over their repentance of their sin and a reliance on Jesus Christ for their salvation.
Amen.
So today was a little microcosm of why you do it. And I was just so happy. I was smiling ear to ear, just going through those rooms. And I remember when I got here, they were just framed up nothing rooms. But now they have desks, they have kids, they have teachers, they have soul winners in there working with the kids. It got me fired up this morning. It was a great, great morning. So, yeah.
I think that's great, too. You're pointing out that your skill as an electrician in a practical way,
yeah,
you know, was part of the framework for a spiritual work to go forward. And I think that sometimes can be overlooked when we're talking about missions and doing God's work, it's often looked at as a spiritual thing. And so much of it is, but also so much is so practical, so physical, hands-on. And I think that's a great thing.
The spiritual and the physical overlap so much. And, you know, one big breakthrough I made as a young person was I was at a camp. I was at a camp service. And the preacher said, when I realized that God just wanted all of myself, all for him, that was a big breakthrough. God was not creating me to be a carbon copy of my pastor or a carbon copy of these people that discipled me. No, God was creating me to be me for him. Not just me for me, but me for him. So, you know, young people, if you're struggling with what has God called me to or whatever, look at your desires. God says for a godly people, he gives people certain desires. He gives people gifts. He gives people skills. What are the things God has given you? Mm-hmm. What are the skills? What are you interested in, right? Because he doesn't want the ministry to be a drag. Like, I'm not dragging myself out here to the mission field to do missions work. No, I'm loving this stuff. This is the good life. Like, God doesn't have to drag me to. So what are you interested in? And how can you use your skills and tools God's given you for God? Because I think that's one of the big disadvantages Christians have against the world right now, is because the world is using all their time and talents and passion to build up things like TikTok followers, or build up things like YouTube subscribers, or build up things to get viral, or put it into secular music that's done very skillfully. Like, there's so much time and energy and passion poured into the things of this world. And then on the side of the Christians, it's almost like Christianity or our service to God is like a garnish on without all our other interests and passions. Mm. How can you use your passions? How can you use your gifts God's given you to glorify him? And shame on us if we have an eternal purpose and we let the world outwork us and outpassion us and outsmart us and put more mental thought into ways they can skillfully reach an audience, when we have to reach that audience, that same audience, for Christ, to pull them out of hell and take them with us up to heaven through the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we letting all of them use their passion? And then you look on the Christian side, no wonder what people don't want to come to church. We have young people that are passionless for the things of God because they're so addicted to dopamine. They're so in love with the things of the world that the love of the Father is not in them. Mm. And you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual. And the gifts God's given you, if you're wondering about what you're called to, don't just look for that Paul on the road to Damascus. Don't just ask God for a sign and be careful with that. We know what the Bible says about people seeking a sign and a generation that seeketh a sign. It's not necessarily a good thing. Instead of rubbing God like a genie in the bottle, why don't you look at the tools and the skill sets God's already given you? And why don't you ask God, can I try this for you and with you? Will you let me try this? And he'll call you and he'll lead you and he'll direct your path in that. If you trust him with what he's already given you and you do a good job and you're a good steward with that.
Well, I think that's such a powerful challenge to the young people, Zach. And I appreciate you coming on, sharing your heart. And young people, I hope you have been stirred. I hope your heart has been blessed as mine has, hearing Zach's testimony here, hearing in some of the ways in which God is using him during this time. And young people, open your eyes to what God would have for you. Maybe there's an opportunity to serve God on a mission field, maybe for a short-term missions trip or something a little longer term. But get your ear to the ground, get your eyes open, and God has amazing things planned for you. And I just love the things that Zach was able to share with us today, and I trust you'll take them to heart. And pray over some of these things. Seek God's will for your life, and he's going to make it clear for you. Yep. So, once again, thank you, Zach, for coming on. It was great to have you.
It was great to be on. I hope you all just let God use you. If you just let him use you, man, he's going to use you to do great things.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Generation Podcast. If you have an issue you need help with, we have a resource that can help you. The Battle Plan for Victory is an online resource designed to help young people deal with personal sin issues through the Word of God, and ultimately, to find victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. To view the battle plan, please visit thegeneration.org/victory.